ask the graduates, the guys, to take off your hats, please. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this occasion. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful night in the lives of these young people. Thank you, Father, for their families, their parents, and all the friends that are here, and all the ones that have invested in their lives throughout the years, all their teachers and pastors and others. And Father, we just pray that your blessings upon the service tonight. I pray that you'll guide and direct in the message this evening. Father, bless the young people, bless their families, and Father, may we be receptive to the truths of your word during the message. Be with our young ladies as they come to give the salutatory and the valedictorian address at this time, and we'll praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay.
And we have two young ladies who have received the highest honors academically at Landmark Christian School this year, and they have a speech to give at this time. So first of all, I'd like to introduce to you our salutatorian of the class of 2018, Miss Sarah Torres.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to thank each and every one of you for gracing us with your presence on this special night. To the class of 2018, my classmates, we made it. I must admit something tonight. I struggled in writing this speech. There was a confusion on what I should talk about and the time to sit down and actually do so. I used excuses like, I don't have time, or I don't have no idea what I'm supposed to say. Eventually one night, as I was cramming for my English final, realization of what was to come finally settled in my busy brain. I put everything down and kind of just sat there and let everything sink in. Tonight is the night we complete a chapter of our lives. I've never really believed our teachers when they would say that our high school years would fly by, but here we are, anxiously waiting to receive our diplomas and move these tassels from the right side to the left. We are here tonight because we are ready to embark on the next chapter. Tomorrow, we are no longer high school students. Instead, we will begin to see the world as the adults in this very auditorium see it. We will leave our norm, what we have grown accustomed to begin once again elsewhere. This may all seem exciting and slightly overwhelming, but I have no doubt in my mind that we will be okay, because I know that we are faith-filled, hard-working, driven people. I have seen what we can accomplish and when we put our minds to it. Throughout the past few years, we have not only flourished academically, but spiritually as well. Because of the teaching we have been blessed to receive at the school, we know that we can always go to the Lord for counseling and decision-making. We have learned that if we seek the Lord and his wisdom truly and wholeheartedly, we do not have to face a difficult path that lies ahead on our own. Like Pastor Carter stated Sunday morning, the road that lies ahead is not an easy one, with hills and valleys. We will make mistakes and receive bumps or bruises on the way, but with God by our side, we will be strong enough to get back up and learn from those mistakes and continue on with more fight in us. As I stand before you today, I get this sense of joy and reminisce. I can clearly remember my first day at Landmark Christian School and the days of those who joined after me. As the years progressed, we became a family, a very distinct and crazy family. I feel the joy when I hear so-and-so receive Christ as their personal savior. I feel the competitive spirit we held among each other for the best grades. And of course, I cannot forget to mention our senior trip and the memories we created there. From the scary winding roads, freezing water temperatures while rafting, some of us crying while walking up a mountain, or those stairs, and of course, our senior song. As the final days of our high school experience drew close, deadlines were given. One deadline in specific was the yearbook one. I am speaking about this yearbook because we had one focus this year, so that every single person that read that book to realize how one man impacted not only the school, but anyone who crossed his path. Mr. Hartwig left a legacy. This year, we really tried to focus on the word legacy and how one could achieve to leave their mark such as Mr. Hartwig did. I know for a fact that we as seniors left our marks here, but we aren't the only ones who did. Our teachers impacted our lives. Tonight, I want to thank each and every teacher that taught me, whether it had been an important mathematical formula or grammar rule, or the difference between quarter notes and half notes. These men and women chose to spend their time teaching kids who thought they knew it all, and that requires much patience and love. I have had the opportunity and blessing to be taught by some of the most caring teachers. For the past 4 years, they have pushed us to give our best. They have been patient and understanding, even when we don't treat them with respect. I will never forget the statements we heard over and over again from some of them. Mr. Wiebes, really, guys? Miss Arnold's ladies and gentlemen, or Mrs. Burden's, watch, someone is going to ask me what I said even though I just repeated it 5 times, which, by the way, always happened. You see, although we gave them a bit of a hard time, they stuck through it and showed us how much they cared for us and our futures. They not only taught us, but they inspired. They counseled us and fervently prayed for us. We even grew so close to some of them that we consider each other family. Someone wise once said, the influence of a good teacher can never be erased. And I know that the influence that they had on us and the principles that they taught us will be with us for the rest of our lives. I want to thank the individuals responsible for making this all happen in the first place. We are truly blessed to be under the leadership of the Christ-honoring man that is Pastor Carter. We are also thankful for everyone involved in the administration. Without them, we wouldn't be gathered here tonight to celebrate this accomplishment. I would also at this moment like to thank my parents and my classmates' parents as well. Thank you all for the hard work and love you have poured into us. You are the ones who continuously encourage us to strive for greatness and support us. In return, we want to make you proud. To the graduating class of 2018, today you are my classmates. Tomorrow, we will be mechanics, engineers, teachers, nurses, doctors, marine biologists, entrepreneurs, and so much more. Tonight, we close this chapter, this story, to begin a new one. This is an open door, a new path. If this were the last thing I were to say to you, always remember to seek God's will for your life, especially on this new dawn. Love and serve him wholeheartedly, and keep in mind that he is sufficient. Thank you for the unforgettable memories. Now it's time to go out and make new ones. This is only the beginning of a new adventure. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Our valedictorian this year for the class of 2018 is Miss Ashley Rutherford, and she'll come at this time.
Unlike Sarah, I have a perfectly good explanation for not turning in my speech on time. Sorry, Mr. Burt. You see, I was waiting for my life-changing experience to occur so I could write my speech. But the most traumatic and difficult thing that has happened to me in the past couple weeks was actually writing this speech. Not to mention, Sarah's speech was so inspirational, so I figured I would try to write a funny speech. Even though I did what every responsible valedictorian would do and Googled funny valedictorian speeches, which was a dead end, I could only come up with one good excuse. You know, the one where my dog ate my homework? But I had a feeling Mr. Burt wouldn't buy it. So knowing this, I would greatly appreciate it if you would fake laugh at all my bad jokes. I would like to begin with a long, well-deserved list of thank yous. In general, I would like to thank everyone for coming and not leaving when you heard I was speaking. To Pastor Carter and all the other important-looking people sitting behind me, we thank you for your vision and dedication in enabling us to have a Christian education, something we do not take lightly. To the parents, family, and friends here today, I know what you're thinking. They're actually graduating? The fact that we all pass is just as surprising to me as it is to you. We are all forever indebted to the time, money, and prayers you have put into us. We thank you for the amount of games you sat through cheering us on even when we were losing 56-3. The Christmas programs you have attended in which you had to sit through terribly sounding kids and crying babies, and the numerous amount of times we've had to bring our lunch to school when we've forgotten it at home. Despite the big crowd we have tonight, I am sure that there are many other special family members and friends who were not able to make it here. Even now, we are reminded of their extreme importance and major influence they have had on us throughout our years. To the loved ones who have gone into heaven before us, you will forever be in our thoughts and hearts. We miss you very much, and we will see you again very soon. I would like to personally recognize two of my teachers who have already gone into heaven, Alan Green and Wally Hartwig. To our teachers, thank you for letting us torment you all these years, especially Mr. Weeby, who has grown a considerable amount of gray hair since first teaching us. To the teachers and staff who have moved on to other areas of work to which God has called them, you have made just as big as an impact as everyone else here, and we thank you. Your many hours of hard work has not gone unnoticed. I would also like to thank Chelsea Williams for paying me to mention her in my speech. Lastly, I would like to thank the church members who came out to see a few teenagers walking around in funny-looking robes. I would greatly appreciate it if you tell everyone that, everyone you know, that Ashley Rutherford gave the best speech ever, and it was so inspirational that it left you in tears. Thank you. Now, to my graduating class of 2018. We are Landmark's biggest graduating class since 2010. Congratulations. You are now ready to conquer the world using algebraic functions, chemical equations, and by diagramming compound complex sentences. I think I speak for everyone by saying that no matter where we go in life, we will never forget the halls of Landmark Christian School. In the last few years, we have gone through many hardships. We have struggled through setback and defeat. We have watched each other cry as we've lost loved ones. We have made mistakes, many, many, many mistakes. But through our pain and failures, we have watched each other grow stronger and braver. We have made friends and lifelong memories. We've had moments of joy and happiness as we celebrated and laughed together. And as we look back on the first completed stage of our life, we in turn also now look forward to the next blank slate ahead of us. All of these people that I've thanked will no longer be on our back all the time, making sure we finish deadlines, make good decisions, and do our devotions. In fact, I could almost guarantee you that if every one of these people could go with us throughout our lives and make the right choices for us, they would. However, they can only hope that the truths that they've instilled in us will go on with us throughout the rest of our lives. Using these truths, we have the potential to change a nation, but it is up to us if we choose to do so. Although I believe that we live in one of the greatest nations in the world, it is far from perfect. We are over $13 trillion in debt. Cancer still rages, claiming innocent lives. There's chaos and turmoil in our cities and neighborhoods over the color of our skin. There are honorary veterans and war heroes that live on the street and beg, while we never have to give a second thought about what we will eat or where we will sleep. There are little kids who are scared to go to school, a place that once stood for safety as we were taught a good, godly education. And most importantly, there are people who need to know the love of God. However, along with these needs, there are 15 young kids. 15 young kids who have come from different backgrounds and have different futures. 15 young kids who have an indefinite number of goals and aspirations. 15 young kids who have a chance to make a difference. We, the 2018 graduating class of Landmark Christian School, are those 15 young kids. 15 young kids who I know can do something great for God.
On your program there, our brother Bert is going to be coming up to give some special awards. I'm kind of jumping ahead of him. I have an award here I want to give. It's not showing there on your program. We've given this award out before. It's the Jeffrey Willis Memorial Scholarship. It's a scholarship. Jeffrey Willis was a nephew of Donna and Mike Willis. He was saved here at Landmark's Camp Glory. He died in an automobile accident December 10th, 1993, at the age of 16. The scholarship is an amount of $1,000. It is paid to the college of the chosen recipient. To qualify, the student must be a senior that is planning to attend college. In choosing a recipient, Christian testimony, grades, athletics, attitude, and school and church participation are all deciding factors for the scholarship. The qualifying student needs to know that they are supported and that their work and testimonies have not gone unnoticed. Somebody help the lady with the nursery. It's right through that glass window over there. The qualifying student needs to know that they are supported and that their work and testimonies have not gone unnoticed. Normally, the scholarship is awarded to one graduating senior. Recipients in the past have gone on to be preachers, teachers, business professionals, homemakers, musicians, and some are still students in college. This year's recipient of this Jeffrey Willis Memorial Scholarship is Ashley Rutherford.
Thank you. I ask Ashley to stay up here. I have several awards I'm going to give out. And the first is dealing with our National Honor Society. And so let me read a few things about this. Our National Honor Society here was started in 1975, but the last several years we've not been active in it. And so we have decided to renew our membership with the National Honor Society this year. We announced this to the students a few months ago and gave them the opportunity to apply to be recognized into the National Honor Society. Ashley is the only one of our senior class that made the application, and she was accepted. So, and rightly so for that, for her hard work. The National Honor Society is earned by several things, and these are the areas that they look at and we look at. We have a faculty committee that makes this decision. The first is scholarship. Scholarship denotes a commitment to learning. Of course, Ashley is our valedictorian. Second area is service. Service can be established in the routine of the day's work, where many opportunities arise to help others and those at school and in the community. The third area is leadership. Leadership should exert a wholesome influence on the school. Character is the force within the individual that distinguishes each person from others. And those four areas are what the committee looks at in the applications that are given. Ashley has served a total of 98 and a half hours of community service or volunteer work over her high school career. She's also attained a grade point average of 4.15. So she hits in all of those areas as well. I'm going to ask Ashley to take the oath that we have for the National Honor Society that they ask us to do. And so, Ashley, if you would raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I promise that with God's help, I shall endeavor to uphold the principles of the Landmark Christian High School Honor Society. We'll see how good she can remember. I will do my best in academic achievement. I will exemplify Christian leadership through service. I will have a cooperative spirit and submission to those who have authority over me. I'll be faithful in carrying out the responsibilities. I will serve with humility, realizing that talents and abilities are gifts from God. I will be honest and considerate fair in my dealings with others. And will maintain and encourage the high standards of scholarship, service, leadership, and character. Thank you. This is a certificate for her being inducted back into the National Honor Society from Landmark Christian School. Congratulations. All right, I have some academic awards to give out at this time. These are made by the teachers in each of the academic subject areas. The first academic subject is for the highest English grade in the class. The highest English academic average goes to Tony. If you come up here, please. In the areas of math, our senior math class, the highest academic achievement goes to Ashley Rutherford. I had the privilege of teaching some of the seniors, both government the first semester and economics the second semester. Now, several of them got out of that class because they took it earlier in the career, and so they didn't have to suffer, put up with me as a teacher. But I did enjoy teaching them. They were a great class. And some of the boys in that class, very competitive with their grades. So in the first semester, we taught American government, and I would like to give a certificate for honorable mention to the person that had the second highest grade point average in that class, missed it by 1 point, and that is to Tater. Gentlemen, you don't have to put your hats back on to come up here. That's fine. You can leave that off. The highest academic in government goes to Bobby. I also taught them economics the second semester. If you saw the Facebook post that we had on our school Facebook, Bobby received a 100 on his final exam in economics and went out and did a couple backflips and cartwheels in celebration for that. And Bobby has also the highest academic average in economics. In the area of astronomy, I have a most improved award, and that goes to Destin. The highest academic in astronomy, highest academic average. I'm sorry, this is for all A's, and the highest academic, and that is Tony. You already heard something about our yearbook this year. If you've seen it, it's a beautiful rendition of our school yearbook. They did a great job. And we have a yearbook appreciation award that goes to the editor-in-chief, and that is Sarah Torres. The next award is for having all A's in speech class. And I'm going to read several of them, so if you just hold your applause till I finish with that would be great, and these could come up here, please. Chelsea, Sarah, Tater, and Destin, all A's in speech. Come on up, please. And the highest academic in speech goes to Jessica Hipley. Jessica. And I missed one in all A's. I'm sorry, the all A's in speech. Also, Lulu gets one. So, Luana, come on up. She told me if she got an award, I had to make sure it was separate from everybody else so we could all honor. No, I'm teasing. Good job. Congratulations. All right. Our seniors also take a class called Principles of Music. I think it's a great class for them to have. And so I have several, again, here that got all A's in that class. If they would come up here, Jessica, Chelsea, Tony, Bobby, and Maya. And the top achiever in Principles of Music for the highest academic goes to Sarah Torres. Then we also have some AB Honor Roll certificates to give out. This is AB Honor Roll for the whole year, all four quarters. So that means they have to make at least an A or a B in every subject all four quarters of the year, or they do not qualify. So these three seniors, come on up. Maya, Bobby, and Tony. And the highest, for A Honor Roll, that's all A's, all year, in every quarter, Ashley Rutherford. We had one person in the entire high school, 7th through 12th grade, that achieved perfect attendance this year. And it's one of our seniors. Everybody's looking around. Tony, congratulations, perfect attendance. That's an amazing feat. I'm proud to be. Each year during our awards assembly at the end of school and then for here at graduation, our teachers vote on what's called the Citizenship Award. The Citizenship Award is given to one boy and one girl in each of the grades, all the way from elementary all the way up. It's characterized by students who have high character, high Christian morals, they're willing to serve, they're a blessing to be in class, and the teachers recognize that. And so I'd like to honor the two seniors that received the Citizenship Award tonight, and that's Destin Horton and Ashley Rutherford. And I have one other award to give. This is called the Principal's Award. In spite of its name, I'm not the one that chooses, though. I actually have the teachers choose this award. We give one Principal's Award in our elementary area, first through sixth grade. We give one Principal's Award for students in 7th through 12th grade. So there's only one in the whole area of the high school that that's given. I asked the teachers to nominate. At the end of the nominating process, we had two people that were tied for the award. So I took those two names back to the teachers and asked them to vote on it as well. And it was not unanimous, but it was very distinctly given to Ashley for the Principal's Award for our high school this year. Congratulations. We have several of our students that competed in the FCAA Fine Arts Competition just a few weeks ago, and a couple of our girls also did solos at the competition, and one of those is Jessica Hipley, and I'm going to ask Jessica to come now and sing for us at this time. Jessica.
Into this horn of
All right. Thank you, Jessica. We have a speaker tonight. We're very proud to get Brother Michael Plowman to come. He's up in Lyons, Georgia at Liberty Baptist Church. And he's no stranger to our young folks. He preached a youth camp for us, tremendous man of God. And we felt like that we'd try to get him first on the list if we could. And we appreciate him driving down to be with us. And we are asking him now to come on and bring the message for us tonight.
Thank you, Brother Carter. I appreciate that. And thank you so much. What a privilege to be able to be here tonight. And let me just say to the class of 2018, congratulations. One word that I think about when I look at this class of 2018 is they are excited right now. And I know you guys are just thrilled. I know you look at me and you say, how do you know? It's been a long time since I've been where you are, but I do remember how I felt. And then I look out here and I see the teachers and the administration. And I actually taught school before I became a preacher. My wife and I were both school teachers. In fact, my wife's not here tonight, but she warned me. She said, Michael, you got to remember, this is a graduation service. Calm down just a little bit, because she knows I'm a preacher now. But I know the word that comes to my mind when I look at the teachers, and that is relieved. The school year is over, and you are relieved. And then I look at some of the parents out here and grandparents and family, and here's the word. Some of you are surprised. You're like, I didn't know I'd ever get to this day. And some of you are quite surprised. Magna cum laude, summa cum laude. Boy, I tell you what, those young ladies did an outstanding job. Someone asked me one time, did you graduate magna cum laude? I said, no. Did you graduate summa? No. What'd you graduate? Summa cum lucky. I was just glad to get out of there. Can I get a witness on that? Can somebody say amen? But anyways, we're glad, so glad of their accomplishments, and a little bit intimidated after hearing all those awards and how smart this class is. I'm just going to put my 2 cents worth in. And I got to be with the young people this summer. And you know, that summer that starts the senior year is so important. And we got to spend a whole week with many of the teenagers in summer camp this year, and I was privileged to be the preacher, and we just had a great time. I still think about some of those services that we had, and I've got a verse, and this verse was probably, other than my salvation being saved, this verse was given to me when I was 18 years old by a lay person in my church. And I was at a pivotal point in my life, and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And this verse was quoted unto me, and it's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. And I want to preach and talk to you a little bit to the class and also to all of us in here. It wouldn't hurt if we could get a few amens from the moms and dads and grandparents. And we're going to talk about seeking God first. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house. It's good to have just a time to honor the accomplishments of these young men and young ladies. And Lord, just to be able to be proud of them, the hard work that they've put in. And I know that the family and friends are very proud of them tonight. But Lord, it's also good to put you in the center of everything that we do and to open up your word. Because, God, with all my heart, I believe that you wrote a book. And that book is the Word of God. It's the Bible. And Lord, we take time now to open it up. And I pray that you'd help me as I share a few thoughts. And help me to do it in the right way, with the right spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There's a preacher that was new to a town. And he'd just taken a church. And so he thought he'd go out into the neighborhood and he thought he would just visit some of the people and knock on some doors, and everything was going great. And he finally came up to this one house and pulled into the driveway, and there was a young man sitting on the porch. And underneath that porch, there was the meanest, nastiest, ugliest looking dog you'd ever seen in your life. I mean, he had the collar on his neck that had the spikes on the collar, you know. He had my wife's not here, so I can say it, the drool coming out of his mouth. And so the preacher, he'd been around the block a few times, and he rolled his window down before he opened the door, and he said, "Hey, son, does your dog bite?" And the little boy said, "No, sir." So the preacher opened up the door, and he thought about it. He closed the door. He said, "Are you sure?" He said, "I'm sure." So the preacher opened up the door, and as soon as he put his leg on the ground, that dog came out from under the porch and about ripped that preacher's leg off. Well, the preacher fought him off and shut the door and rolled his window back down. He said, "You liar." He said, "You told me your dog didn't bite." And the boy said, "That ain't my dog. It's a neighbor's dog." You know, you can assume something. And when I say put God first, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. Everybody thinks God's first in their life. Everybody assumes that God's first in their life. Some people think God's first because they made a decision to trust Christ as their Savior. But you know, I want to make sure that I don't assume you know what putting God first means. I want to try to show you what it means to put God first. You know, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "I'm not so much concerned with being which side is on God's side. I'm concerned with having God on our side. I want to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be." And you know, when God comes into our life, God doesn't come into our life to take sides. He comes to take over. When Joshua the great general in God's army was walking and contemplating and praying about how to take the city of Jericho, he was walking one evening, and in the cool of the evening, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and Joshua, being the warrior, grabs his sword, and he says, "Are you for us, or are you for our enemy?" And the angel of the Lord gives a strange answer. You would think the angel of the Lord would say, "I'm on your side, Joshua, put your sword up." But when Joshua said, "Are you for us, or are you for our enemy?" the angel of the Lord said, "No, I'm not for you, and I'm not for your enemy." You see, God doesn't come to take sides. God comes to take over. And when I say, or when the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, put God first, what God is saying, I'm coming to take over. My question in this class is God taking over your life? You see, I sat where you sat, and I went through Christian school, and my mom and dad sacrificed to put me in Christian school. But I have to admit to you, it wasn't until my summer of my senior year after I'd graduated that I let God take over my life. And we assume we know what it means to put God first. There's a guy, I'm from South Georgia, okay? If you can't tell from the accent by now, that's where this accent comes from. Good old South Georgia. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Now, you have to know something about South Georgia. When I candidated at our church, I thought the color, you know, every church has a theme, and I thought maybe the color scheme of our church was real tree camo. I mean, they were wearing it in the choir. I thought, I've never seen such. Let's just say, you know, we're a little backwoods. So let's suppose there's a guy in our town, and he pulled up to the local gas station, and he had his pickup truck. That's what they drive in South Georgia. And he has his pickup truck, and on the back of his pickup truck, he's got a bumper sticker. And it says, "Proud Parent," and his name's Bubba, by the way. By the way, we have three Bubbas in our church, so I can talk. We really do. We have three Bubbas in our church. One of them, that's his given name. It's on his birth certificate. Bubba. So Bubba pulls up in his pickup truck, and on the back of his truck, he's got a bumper sticker that says, "Proud parent of a Harvard student." And he gets out, and they're kind of snickering and laughing. They said, "Bubba, we know you're a boy. He ain't at Harvard." And Bubba says, "He most certainly is at Harvard. Bubba, he ain't at Harvard. He most certainly is at Harvard." "Well, if your son is at Harvard, then what subject is he studying?" Bubba says, "He ain't studying nothing. They studying him." Some people don't understand the question, you know. I'm talking to you about putting God first.
Everybody thinks God's first. Most people that have any connection to God, especially people that are graduating from a Christian school, yeah, I got God first. I got a fish on my fish sticker on my car. I got God first. Man, I don't cuss and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. I got God first in my life. But what does it mean to put God first? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I want to say, when you put God first, it means putting God first in your future. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. When I say put God first, what I mean is when you're young, when you've got your life in front of you, when you're making decisions that are going to set the trajectory of the rest of your life, put God first in your life then. Seek God early. When the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it's saying put God first in your future. Let God make the plan of your life. Look, we have people say it all the time to me. They say, just follow your heart. Why would you want to do that? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Follow God. That's what I say to you. The Bible says in listen, I love this verse in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What's the Bible saying? The Bible said the best time in your life to put God first is when you're young, when you've got your future ahead of you, when you've got a life to live for God. Don't wait till the end of your life and decide to serve God then. Serve God when you're young. Serve God with your life. Give God your life. David said, I have been young and I'm now old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Look, put God in your life and God will take care of you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Paul wrote to Timothy. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, hey, when you were just a little boy, your mom and your grandmother, they put the Word of God when you were young into your life. And you know, there are people in this room that have gray in their hair. And there are people in this room that could stand up and do a much better job than I could do. And they could get behind this pulpit and they could say to this class of 2018, and they would beg with you and they would plead with you. And they would say, I wasted my life. I thought I could wait and put God first later. I thought I could do what I wanted to do now and then serve God. But I regret that decision. I made some bad decisions and it hurt me and it cost me. And I'm saying to you, seek first the kingdom of God means to put God first in your future. Let God have your future. Give it to Him and you'll never regret it. Amen. Jesus is a master illustrator, was He not? He could take anything and He could illustrate. And He illustrated this truth so beautifully one day when He sat there and He brought a little child and He put that child in His lap. And He said this, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. You know what He was saying? He was saying, I want them when they're young. I want them when they have their future in front of them. I want them when before they ruin their life, before they wreck their life, before they dim their testimony. I want the little children. I want them to come unto me. I want them when they have a future in front of them. One day D.L. Moody preached a meeting. And he had two adults saved, and he had one child saved. And someone asked him, how did you do? And he said, well, we had two adults saved, and we had one child saved. And the guy kind of said, well, you had two and a half then. He said, no, you're thinking it all wrong. The adults are half. The child has a whole life to live for God. And I'm saying to you, let God have your future. You know, my family, where I grew up, we had a tradition of serving in the military. My grandfather fought in Korea in World War II. His father fought in World War I. My great-great great-grandfather fought in the Civil War. My, I don't know how far back, fought in the Revolutionary War. I mean, if you were in our family, you served in the military. And I thought that was going to be my plan. My grandfather was so, he had such a way of telling stories, and you could never tell if he was joking or not. I can remember as a child sitting on his knee, and he'd tell me stories about fighting in the Pacific during World War II. One of my favorite stories he told me was about when he got shot. And I said, "Grandpa, did it hurt?" He said, "Yeah, it hurt." I said, "Grandpa, were you afraid?" He said, "I was afraid." I said, "Grandpa, what happened?" He said, "The guy that shot me, he said, he didn't kill me, so I shot him back and I killed him." I said, "Wow, Grandpa, what'd you do next?" He said, "I crawled over there and I ripped his dog tag off and I looked at the name." I said, "Grandpa, what name was on there?" He said, "Yakka Macka Soda Cracker." And I said, "Okay." I wanted to serve in the military and make my grandfather proud. I was raised by my grandparents. I was approved to go. When I was 18 years old, God squeezed my heart and said, you're a preacher. I made you to be a preacher. And you know, it was a hard decision. I felt like I was letting my grandparents down. I felt like I was letting my family down. But listen, when God calls you, there's no greater call than to serve God with your life. Now, whatever God calls you to do, he may call some of you to be an engineer. He may call some of you to be a stay-at-home mom. But whatever he calls you to do, serve God with your life. Seeking God first means first in your future. It means first in your decisions. Have you ever thought about this? You know the story of Lot, right? Y'all know Lot, don't you? Abraham said, "Hey, Lot, choose which way you want to go. If you choose that way, I'll go that way. If you choose that way, I'll go that way." And we know that Lot stood there and he chose to go towards Sodom, the world, the way of the flesh. Have you ever thought about how different Lot's life would have been if he would have said, "Abraham, I'd like to take one day to pray and ask God what he want me to do." If Lot would have just got on his knees and said, "Before I make this big decision about life, I want to pray." You know what it means to put God first? It means when you're faced with a decision, young people, you say, "God, here's option A. God, here's option B. I don't care if you choose option A. I don't care if you choose option B. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Give me peace about what you want me to do. And God, I'll not move until I have peace. I'm seeking you first in every decision. Before I make a decision, God, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to ask you about it." And so many times we make decisions about a job, and we make decisions about where to go to college, and we make decisions about what we're going to do with our life, and we never ask God about it. We never ask for a peace about it in our heart and in our soul. You know, the book of Timothy was written by Paul to Timothy about how to run a church service, how to run a church. And Paul said, "Timothy, when you run a service, here's the first thing you ought to do." Now, I'm a preacher. So I'm thinking, okay, what's the first thing Paul's going to write about? First thing, we're going to sing first. I like singing, don't you? We're going to preach first. I like preaching, don't you? We're going to take up an offering first. I'm a Baptist. He said, no, first of all, supplications, intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks. You see, before you make any move, you pray about it. Samson got in trouble because he went on a date before he prayed about it. You ever thought about that if he'd have prayed about that girl, Delilah? You ever thought about that? "God, do you really want me to date Delilah?" I mean, think about it. The prodigal son ruined his life because he didn't pray about when he was supposed to leave home. Now, I believe with all my heart, at one point, God had told him to leave home, but it wasn't the time. It wasn't God's time. And I'm just saying to you, seeking God first. Somebody, I'm going to put God first. I want God on my side. Listen, God on your side doesn't mean you tell God what you're going to do. So many times we pray, "I prayed about it." What does that mean? That means you told God what you were going to do and ask him to bless it. That's not seeking God first. Seeking God first means giving God all the options, giving God a blank piece of paper, putting your name on the bottom and saying, God, you fill it out. You tell me what I'm going to do. You tell me how I'm going to serve you. God, I'm putting you first. I'm not going to move until I get on my knees and pray. And I'm saying to you, young people, would to God you'd get on your knees and pray and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I can remember being at that moment of decision when I was your age, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew what my family wanted me to do. I knew what my mom and dad wanted me to do. I knew what other adults in my life wanted me to do. I even knew what good people wanted me to do, but it wasn't what God wanted me to do. And I had to get on my knees, and I'd say, God, this is the hardest decision I've ever made, but if it's what you want, I'll do it. And I can remember the sweet peace of God that came into my soul because I was doing what God wanted me to do. There was a lady who prayed all the time. And she was one of these dear old saints of God. She could rejoice and pray. The only problem was she lived right next door to an atheist. And she'd get on that front porch and she'd just praise God and pray. I don't know if y'all have anybody like that in Florida, but we got them in South Georgia, you know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, that old atheist, he'd get under his skin, man. He couldn't stand it. One day she was out on the front porch and she was praying and praising. And she said, oh, God, you know my needs. Oh, God, you know I don't have any more groceries. And oh, God, I pray that you would supply the need. I need some groceries. Well, the old atheist heard it. And he thought, I'm going to get this woman now. He went to the grocery store. I mean, he bought a cart full of groceries. And I'm talking not store brand, name brand. You know what I mean? He was really going to get her good. He waited for her to go inside. He snuck all those groceries right on her front porch. He rung the doorbell and ran hid in the bushes. She came out, and when she saw those groceries, she had herself, y'all understand this language, a fit. Look, she got tore up from the floor up. I mean, she just praising Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. About that time, the atheist hopped up. He said, ha ha. He said, God didn't provide those groceries. I did. And she said, oh, thank you, Jesus. You provided them and you made the devil pay for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now look, put God first. Pray about it. Give it to the Lord. God will take care of you. Some people are so worried, but I'm saying, pray about it. Put God first. There's a pastor, and that pastor, you know, we pastors, we might have graduated summa cum laude, but we get good ideas every now and then. And his daughter had gotten a little kitty cat from one of the church members. I had a church member try to give me a cat last Sunday. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. Look, just so y'all know, when y'all give the preacher a cat, it ain't a blessing to us, okay? Pastor, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to give you a kitty cat. Keep your cat. But this church member had given his daughter a little kitty cat, and the cat had climbed up in the tree. And it was one of those trees that wasn't big enough to climb, but it was too big, you know, to reach to the top. And so the cat was up there, and he's down there in the yard. Come on, kitty, come on, jump. And the cat's just holding on. He said, I look like an idiot out here. So he got an idea. He pulled his truck over there to the tree, and he got a rope, and he tied it up towards the top of the tree, and he tied it to the bumper of the truck, and he began to pull the truck forward. Everything was going well until the rope broke. When the rope broke, the cat went flying. A long ways. Well, you know, he told his daughter that Kitty went to Kitty Heaven and left it at that. About a week later, he was visiting a church member, and he sat down in the living room, and he looked in the corner of the living room, and there was the cat. And the pastor just kind of looked, and he said, do you mind me asking where you got your cat from? And the lady said, Pastor, you'll love this story. You won't believe what happened. She said, my daughter was playing, and we were out in the yard, and my daughter had been asking for a cat every day. You know how kids ask for it? Mommy, 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 mommy. She said, finally, I got so frustrated, I said, just ask. Don't ask me anymore. Just ask God for a cat. She said, so my little girl got on her knees and began to pray. She said, and you won't believe it, Pastor. Out of the air came a cat. I can't promise you that God will drop it out of the air. But you know, when you pray, coincidences happen. And when you don't pray, coincidences don't happen. Pray. Seeking God first means my future is not my future. My life is not my life. My body is not my body. It all belongs to God. And it's real cute to say, God's first. I'm putting God first. But what it really means is saying, my life is yours. My body is yours. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what it means. And seeking God first means I pray about everything. I don't make a move until I get on my knees and ask God what His will is. I don't make a decision until I get on my knees and ask God. I don't date a guy. I don't date a girl until I get on my knees and say, God, is this your will? Listen, God never promised to protect you from falling in love with the devil. So you better pray about it before you start hanging around him. Because he may be the devil himself, and you may fall in love with him if you hang around him long enough. Putting God first means I'm going to pray about every decision. I'm going to seek God. He's going to be the center. And it means putting God first means not only does he have the first in every decision, but he has the first in every part of the day. I heard someone mention devotions, and one of the speeches, they talked about the teacher's not going to be there to make sure you read your Bible every day. But you know, can I just tell you this, class? The Bible is the only reliable data that we have about God. This book is the only reliable data that you have about God. And the world will tell you all they want to know about God, and philosophy will tell you all. But listen, the Bible is the only reliable data that we have about God. Dr. Lee Broughton was a medical doctor who also happened to be a preacher. Now, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? And that's pretty cool. He could work on your heart on Sunday morning and work on your heart on Monday morning. Well, Dr. Lee Broughton was a man of small stature, little guy, but he had a tremendous intellect. And he started a church called the Baptist Tabernacle in Atlanta, Georgia, years and years ago. And one day, Dr. Broughton was in a debate with an atheist who didn't believe in the Bible. And Dr. Broughton was a very intelligent person, and he was getting the best of the atheist in the debate. I like that. And so the atheist got frustrated, got mad. He said, you little weasel. He said, I'll pick you up and bite your head off. And Dr. Broughton looked at him and said, if you did, you'd have more brains in your belly than you have in your head. Now listen, y'all done good with all those awards. But let Mr. Summa Cum Lucky tell you something. If you got any brains in your head, you'll believe that God wrote a book. And you'll let it guide your life. D.L. Moody said, I was concerned about not having enough faith. He said, I wanted faith. And so I prayed for months for God to give me greater faith. And he said, God never gave it to me. He said, finally, I couldn't figure out why I prayed for it and God wouldn't give me more faith. He said, finally, I was reading my Bible one day, and the book of Romans says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I realized then that if I wanted my faith to be great, I had to increase my time in the word of God, because the word of God increases your faith. Seeking God first means, God, you're first in my future. It means, God, you're first in my decisions. It means, God, you're first in my day. I won't start a day without getting in the word. You know what the Quran calls Christians? You know, we're in the Quran. It calls us infidels for one thing, but another thing it calls us is people of the book. People of the book. Because way back when the Quran was written, those Christians were known as people that spent time in the book, time in the Word. I'm not asking you if you've got an app on your phone that has Bible on it. I'm asking you if you open up the Word of God. Someone said we need to get off Facebook and get our face in the book. And I like it. First in my day, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. They said that he was so full of the Bible, they joked that if you cut him, he'd bleed the Bible. Would to God you would be so consumed with the Word of God that when you're cut, the Bible comes out. The Word of God. When I sat where you're sitting, graduated from college, Dr. Tom Malone preached my college graduation. How many of you have ever heard Tom Malone? Some of y'all, you heard him. He probably preached here, I'm sure. Tom Malone said, someone asked me one time. He talked like that, you know. I wish I could talk like that. Old preacher. I'm going to ask me one time, how long do you read your Bible? He said, I read it till my heart burns. And some mornings you're going to have to get up and you're not going to know which way to go. Open up this book and read it till your heart burns when you grow cold. The first day of seeking God first means giving God first in your decisions, your future, your day, the first of your week. You know, there's a trend today. You know what the trend is, folks? The trend is, young people, church is for old people. I mean, let's just be honest. That's what the trend is. The trend is, I don't need organized religion. What do you want? Disorganized religion? Jesus taught us that the church was important. He used certain words to describe the church. Here's the word he used. You don't know the word he used? My bride. I'd say that's pretty important, wouldn't you? How important was the church to Jesus? So important he called it his bride. And I'm saying to you, the first of every week is Sunday. Spend it in church. Some of you, your mom and dad make you come to church. I joke sometimes, I was raised on drugs. Drug to church Sunday morning, drug to church Sunday night, drug to church Wednesday night. You're going to be on your own now. You know, you're going to have to make some decisions. Am I going to go to church or not? Am I going to be faithful or not? And you know, the trend today is to say, church is for old people, not for young people. But I'm telling you, church is for Christians. That's who it's for. The redwood tree is the giant of all trees. But the strange thing about the redwood tree is its roots are very shallow. It doesn't have deep roots. You would think that a tree that big would have to have deep roots in order to stand the storms of life. But you know, the redwood tree doesn't depend on the depth of its roots. You know what it depends on? It interlocks its roots with the other redwood trees. And so a great redwood stand is full of huge trees with shallow roots, but those roots are connected together. And the church is where you connect with other Christians so when the storms of life come, you won't fall. Amen. Putting God first means he's the first in every part of my future, in every decision, every part of my day, the first of every week, God's first. And then I say this, the first of every dollar that you make belongs to God. I hope some of you become millionaires. Where were the moms and dads right there? Man, I set you up. Y'all gonna be paying the power bill if they don't, okay? I hope some of y'all become millionaires. Don't be stingy with God. Preacher heard some church members talking. They were talking about their giving. One guy thought he was real spiritual. He said, I tell you what I do. He said, after I get my paycheck cashed, he said, I draw a circle in the middle of my living room floor, and I take my paycheck and I throw it up in the air. He said, whatever lands in that circle belongs to God. Another guy said, oh, that's not how I do it. He said, I draw a line down the middle of the room, and I throw it up in the air. Whatever falls on this side belongs to me. Whatever falls on this side belongs to God. The other church member's a little stingy. He said, well, I throw it up in the air. Whatever God reaches down and grabs, I figure he wants. Don't be stingy with God. 10% of everything you make belongs to God. I close with this. You know, the Bible has 783,137 words. So I won't read them all tonight. But there may be some people here, and you might not be a Christian. If you're here not a Christian, you're probably going, this is the craziest guy I've ever heard in my life. But let me just break down what those 787,137 words basically say. Are you ready for this? Forgiveness of your past. Hope for your present. Or life for present. Hope for your future. That's what the Bible gives you. It gives you forgiveness of your past. Put God first. What does it mean to put God first? It means to give your soul to Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And you know, back in the space race, the cosmonauts were the Russians, and they went up to space. And one of them got up there, when he came back, the first thing they asked him was, did you see God? The cosmonauts were atheists. He said, no, I didn't see God. So the Russian papers wrote, God does not exist. The American astronaut went up to space and came back, and they put a microphone on him and said, did you see God? He said, no, but if I'd have taken my spacesuit off, I would have seen him. I can't show you God with your physical eyes, but I know God exists. And I'm saying, if you're here today, put God first in your life. There's a famous patriot. I close with this. His name was Ethan Allen. And Ethan Allen stood up in front of a group of Christians at the end of his life. And he gave his Christian testimony of how he got saved. And he said, I haven't always been a Christian. He said, when I was a young man, I was a war hero. He said, I married a beautiful young lady who was a Christian, but I was not a Christian. He said, God gave us a beautiful little girl. He said, that little girl was the love of my life. He said, every day I would get up and I would go into the room where she was, and I would look at that little baby girl and think, what a beautiful child God gave me. He said, my wife was a Christian though, and she would take that little baby girl every Sunday. She would take her to church. I mean, when she was just a baby, she would wrap her in blankets and carry that little baby to church. And when she was 1 year old and 2 year old and 3 years old and 4 years old, every Sunday my wife would take that little girl to church. He said, it began to bother me because I thought in my mind that the closer my daughter got to God, the further she got from me. And I thought my wife was trying to steer my daughter away from me. He said, so when my daughter got to be about 8, 9 years old, I began to tell her, you don't have to go to church with your mom. You can stay home with me. He said, I would do things like keep her out late on Saturday just so she would be too tired to go to church on Sunday. Yeah, I didn't believe in church. I didn't believe in preachers. I thought they were all con men. I thought church was just a big scam and for the weak, not for a soldier like me. He said, finally, when my daughter got to be about 13, 14 years old, she never went to church with my wife anymore. She stayed at home with me. One day he said, when my daughter was 16 years old, she stayed out late and she drove home in an open carriage. This was years ago. They had been swimming and she drove home and the night air, the open carriage, she developed pneumonia. This was before penicillin and before modern hospitals. And he said, my daughter got very ill and we called a doctor and the doctor tried to do everything he could to help my daughter. But he said, my daughter didn't get any better. She got worse. He said, finally, the doctor came and my wife and I could tell by the look on his face it wasn't good news. And the doctor said, Mr. Allen, your daughter's going to die. There's nothing else I can do. He said, the hardest thing I ever did was walk into that room where my 16-year-old daughter lay on the bed. And he said, she looked at me and she said, Daddy, you've never lied to me. And I said, no, honey, I've never lied to you. She said, Daddy, don't lie to me. Am I going to die? And he said, yes, darling, the doctor says you're going to die. And she said, Daddy, do you want me to die your way or die Mama's way? He said, I fell on my knees and I begged her, oh, please, please die your Mama's way. Die your Mama's way. Don't die my way. Die your Mama's way. And he said, that's what changed my life. Because I realize there's two ways to die. And some of you may be here tonight, and you don't know what it means to seek God first. And if you were to die, you wouldn't be ready. And I challenge you, I encourage you, bow your head, ask God to forgive your sins. Give your heart to Jesus Christ before it's too late. And I challenge you young people here. You know what it means to seek God first? He's first in my future. He's first in my decisions. He's first in my day. He's first in my week. And he's first in every dollar that I make. Seek God first. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Every head bowed. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these young people and the nice attention of this crowd here tonight. God, you know the hearts. You know who's here that's not ready to meet you. You know who's here who it's been a long time since they've sat in a church and heard a sermon, but you pricked their heart tonight. And Lord, you know who needs to make a decision to pray and receive you as their Savior. I pray that you wouldn't let their heart go until they yield it and surrender to you. Lord, I pray for these beautiful young people that we're here to honor tonight. I pray that they would seek you first. God, I pray that you'd be first in their future. You'd be first in every decision. God, I pray that they'd put you first. We pray that you bless them and help their lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
That's on. Thank you, Brother Plowman. That was an excellent message. And I know it's something that all of us can apply. And I know it's something special for our seniors as well and our graduates to be. And so, speaking of graduates, let's graduate them. At this time, we will have the presentation of diplomas.
Luana Encarnacion del Rosario.
Hello, my name is Luana Encarnacion. I am the daughter of Odaliza de Rosario and Matthew Hemmings. I've been attending Landmark Christian High School since eighth grade. I was saved at the age of 13. While at Landmark Christian High School, I've been involved in JV and varsity volleyball, girls basketball and softball, yearbook, banquet committee, drama club, homecoming court, art class, and FCAA competition. My future plans are to attend college for business management and architecture design and start off my own business one day. My favorite Bible verse is Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I would like to thank my parents for pushing me to do my best and never giving up on me. My teachers for taking the time to invest in my future. My friends for making school enjoyable, and God for being my light. Thank you.
Josue Emmanuel Guzman Hart.
My name is Josue Emmanuel Guzman Hart. I am the son of Lisa Francine Hart and Roberto Marcos Guzman. I've been attending Landmark High School since 10th grade. I was saved in first grade. While at Landmark High School, I was involved in JV and varsity basketball, baseball, and football. My future plans is being a businessman in management and creating my own shoe company. My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to thank my friends, my family that are living in Puerto Rico right now. They're going through tough times. Just know I keep on praying for you guys, and also just keep on moving forward. And I want to thank God for everything. And yeah, that's all. See ya.
Jessica Christine Hipley.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Christine Hipley. I'm the proud daughter of Jeffrey and Carrie Hipley. I've been attending Landmark Christian School since the fourth grade. I was saved at the age of 17 years old by Amanda Tedino. While I attended Landmark Christian High School, I have been involved in choir 5 years, handbells 3 years, volleyball 6 years, basketball 6 years, softball 5 years, cheerleading 3 years, photography yearbook 3 years, drama 1 year, teacher's aid 1 year, FCAA 2 years, photography club 1 year, microengineering 1 year, and Little Patriots cheerleading 2 years. My special achievements that I have achieved at Landmark for Volleyball Defensive Player of the Year, Coach's Award in Basketball 1 year, my FCAA non-humorous monologue placed first. My future plans after high school are to attend nursing school for 6 years, to later on become a neonatal intensive care unit nurse. My favorite Bible verse is Psalms 34:7, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I would like to thank God for getting me through all my years and bringing me this far in life. I would also like to say a special thank you to my mom. My mom has done so much for me, and I take it for granted. She deserves a thank you. My mom watched me play sports, wait till 10 p.m. to pick me up after a ball game, help me study late at night, help me finish school late at night, and support me in everything I've accomplished or done with this school. My mom means a lot to me. I would like to say thank you to my classmates and family for also getting me through this year. And I would like to thank the staff of Landmark Christian High School and Pastor Carter.
Destin Lee Horton.
My name is Destin Horton. I am the son of Jamie Taylor and John Horton. I have been attending Landmark High School since 10th grade. I was saved in the age of 14. While at Landmark Christian School, I have been involved in basketball, baseball, art, and weightlifting. My future plans are to attend the Crown College for a diesel mechanic. My favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I like to take the time and thank my family and church family for everything that they've done in my life.
John Kester Horton, Jr.
My name is John Kester Horton, also known as Tater. I am the son of Jamie Taylor and John Horton. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since 10th grade. I was saved at the age of 13. While at Landmark Christian High School, I have been involved in basketball, football, and baseball. My future plans is to go to the University of Technical Institute to be a diesel mechanic. My favorite Bible verse is John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to thank my family and my church family for taking care of me and putting me into this school, and the school administration for teaching me my education.
Maya Justine Jackman.
Hello, my name is Maya Justine Jackman. I am the proud daughter of Wayne Jackman and Claudia Kedrill. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since fifth grade and was saved in the sixth grade. While at Landmark Christian High School, I have been involved in volleyball, girls basketball, softball yearbook, banquet committee, art, photography club, DIY club, drama, and the FCAA competition. My future plans are to go to college and study marine biology. My favorite verse is Luke 1:37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I would like to thank God, my parents, and my siblings for everything they've done for me. And I would also like to thank all of my coaches, teachers, and all of my close friends who I have shared countless memories with throughout all these years.
Vladimir Billy Lapamoretti.
My name is Vladimir Lapamoretti, and I'm from Landmark Baptist High School. I am the son of Fran and David Jenkins. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since 11th grade. I was saved in 11th grade. I was led to the Lord by Brother Morton. While at Landmark Christian High School, I've been involved in basketball programs, teen youth group, football programs, art and drama productions, FCAA competition. My future plans are to study mechanical engineering and hopefully land a job at Phillips Construction. My favorite Bible verse is Joshua 1:5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." I'd also like to thank my mom and dad for being there all my life, the Burdens, the Varguses, and the Mortons, and everyone else who made it possible for me to enjoy and have the best senior year possible. Through the good and bad, people always stood by me and have helped me learn new life lessons that I will take further than just Landmark. Thank you.
Wendy Yamileth Lopez Portillo.
My name is Wendy Yamilet Lopez. I am the daughter of Adan and Nilba Lopez. I have been attending to Landmark Christian High School since 11th grade. I was saved in 7th grade. I was led to the Lord by my parents. While at Landmark Christian High School, I have been involved in choir, basketball, teacher's aid, homecoming courage. My special achievements are play the organ at the Spanish church. I also took classes at the Landmark Baptist College and participated in the FCAA competitions. My future plans are study business management at Pensacola Christian College. My favorite Bible verse is 2 Timothy 4:7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I would like to thank God for blessing me to be able to come to Landmark and giving me the best parents I could ever ask for, my friends for being there for me all the time, and my teachers for guiding me in day-to-day life. I will always love and miss my class of 2018.
Barry Edward Parsons Jr.
Hi, my name is BJ Parsons. I am the son of Barry and Sherry Parsons. I have been attending Landmark Christian School since the first grade. I was saved at the age of 6. While at Landmark Christian School, I have been involved in the football program, the school modeling class, and the architectural design class. My future plans are to attend Landmark Baptist College. My favorite Bible verse is Proverbs 3:1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." I would like to thank my parents and Pastor Carter and all the people of the Landmark Baptist Church for making everything possible for me.
Garrett Job Phillips.
My name is Garrett Job Phillips. I am the son of Pat and Wanda Phillips. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since preschool. I was saved at the age of 7. While at Landmark, I have been involved in baseball for 2 years and art for 1. My future plans are to work with my dad doing construction while gaining enough knowledge to one day start my own business. My favorite Bible verse is Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." I would like to thank my parents, girlfriend, and friends who have helped me get this far. I love you guys. May the Lord bless you all. And remember, a relationship is like a flower. Give it some time to bloom.
Ashbel Tony Pierre.
Hello, my name is Ashbel Tony Pierre. I am the son of Pierre Antoine Pierre and Enoch Napoleon. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since 8th grade. I was saved when I was 7, and I was led by my youth pastor. While at Landmark Christian High School, I have been involved in drama and varsity basketball and SCAA. My future plan are to go to college and study business course. My favorite Bible verse is 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I want to thank God for allowing me to get this far. I would also like to thank my family for always being in my tail and my friends for being who they are. I would also like to thank my teachers for teaching me, and I would like to thank Landmark for being a blessing in my life.
Marindy Rosa Heredia.
My name is Marindy Rosa Heredia. I am the daughter of Colon and Endera Chang. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since 11th grade. I was saved in 12th grade. I was led to the Lord by Mr. Tadino. While at Landmark, I have been involved in varsity volleyball, teacher's aid, banquet committee, yearbook staff, homecoming court, drama club, photography club, and FCAA competitions. My future plans are to attend Valencia College to pursue my associate's degree in diagnostic medical sonography and my bachelor's degree in radiologic and imaging sciences. I want to thank my mom and dad for always being there for me. I would also like to thank all my teachers for always supporting me, and to my friends and other family members for never letting me feel alone. I love you guys. My favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." And to my grandpas that are up in heaven, I dedicate this diploma to you.
Victoria Ashley Rutherford.
My name is Victoria Ashley Rutherford. I am the daughter of Victor and Joycelyn Rutherford. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since the third grade. I was saved in K-5 at 5 years old. I was led to the Lord by my Sunday school teacher. While at Landmark Christian School, I have been involved in volleyball, basketball, softball, elementary and high school choir, drama, handbells, yearbook, teacher's aid, homecoming court, banquet committee, Little Patriots, and SCAA competition. My special achievements are a captain and MVP in volleyball and basketball for several years, honor roll throughout high school, and homecoming queen. My future plans are to pursue a bachelor's degree in music education at Pensacola Christian College. After that, I want to work towards an educational specialist in school counseling degree. Lord willing, I will be able to work in a school and make an impact in someone's life. My favorite Bible verse is Isaiah 12:2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also my salvation." I would like to thank my family, friends, and teachers for always being there for me and giving me so many amazing memories that I will never forget. I would especially like to thank my parents for always supporting me in everything that I do. But most importantly, I would like to thank my grandmother for supplying me with so many amazing meals and dishes. I love you all.
Mercedes Sarah Torres.
My name is Mercedes Sarai Torres. I am the daughter of Wilmer and Dunya Torres. I have been attending Landmark Christian School since the fifth grade. I was saved in second grade at 7 years old. I was led to the Lord by my dad. While at Landmark Christian School, I have been involved in elementary and high school choir, drama club, JV and varsity volleyball, basketball, softball, yearbook staff, and fourth grade teacher's aid. I also competed in FCAA competitions and received second place last year and first place this year in dramatic monologues. My future plans are to attend college to become an RN and, Lord willing, eventually go to med school and pursue a career in pediatric surgery. My favorite Bible verse is 1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also I am known." I want to thank my family and friends for supporting me through everything. I want to thank my father for being a strong role model to my brothers and I. And I also want to thank my mother for being so caring and loving no matter what the situation. I want to thank my brother Brian for being a strong role model for me personally. I want to thank my friends, especially the women in my life, who have gone out of their way to be there for me when I have needed company the most. I also want to thank my teachers who have not only taught me the basics, but principles and morals that I will live with for the rest of my life. Thank you for caring and loving me. I love you.
Chelsea Rose Williams.
Hi, y'all. My name is Chelsea Williams. I am the daughter of Earl and Julie Williams. I have been attending Landmark Christian High School since ninth grade. I was saved at 7 years old. I was led to the Lord by my mother. While at Landmark Christian High School, I have been involved in choir, drama, yearbook, and basketball, teacher's aid, homecoming court, banquet committee, and FCA competition. My future plans are to attend Warner University for 4 years to become an elementary teacher. My favorite Bible verse is Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I want to thank God for always being there for me, no matter what I am going through. And I also want to thank my mama for loving and caring for me and making me smile when no one else could. I want to thank my papa for encouraging me to do the best in my life and being the best dad I could ever have and ask for. I want to also thank my siblings for being annoying but funny and making memories with me that I won't forget. Lastly, I want to thank my teachers for believing in me and helping me accomplish this part in my life, especially Miss Burden. I love all y'all. Thank you. Mwah. XOXO.
Ask the graduates to stand, and we're going to pray one more time. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful evening. Thank you, Father, for the message and for the speeches and the awards. And Lord, I know as parents and family members and friends, our hearts and minds are flooded with memories of these young people, and some of them that we've known almost all their lives, and some of them just in recent years. But we thank you for each and every one. And Father, I pray as they go forth from this place tonight that you'll help them to make decisions that are pleasing in your sight. Father, may they invest themselves in those things which have eternal value. And we'll praise you and give the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen and friends, I'd like to present to you the graduates of Landmark Christian School, class of 2018. We want to thank everyone that could attend, especially our church members who came here for our Wednesday night service, and all the family and relatives that are here. They're going to stand down here for just a few minutes if you want to come by and get some pictures. And then, of course, everyone is invited to our fellowship hall just behind me here. Each of the graduates have a table set up with some memorabilia and things that they've had through their school years as well there. And there's some food as well. So we'd like to invite everyone. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed.